broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Good evening. And welcome to this radio program, Radio for Patriots by Patriots. We go places other talk shows cannot go. And if you don't believe me, just ask them. They'll acknowledge it. They will acknowledge our superiority in that area. Welcome to the show. We're here every night, as I mentioned, and on Saturday nights we do our local show in Los Angeles as well, but you can join us for that. All of it online at philhendryshow.com, which is our website. It's also where we feature live streaming video of the show every night, our podcasts each and every day, our archives, our news feeds, all of the webisodes that we have, all of our rants. It's all there at philhendryshow.com, so join us for that. Tonight, like every night, we want to mention our affiliate spotlight, right, Jace? Our affiliate spotlight tonight, we're taking a look at West Palm Beach and WBZT. We've been on with those guys for a long time, and another long time, very loyal, great, great affiliate, KJLL in Tucson, The Jolt, and those cats have been with Phil Hendry for, I mean, years, and we appreciate that. They're all courageous broadcasters. Anybody that hangs with us, I can tell you. Our website, philhendryshow.com. Now, I want to tell you about a contest that we're running here, and it has to do with the Google satellite pictures. And this is not just any contest where, you know, next week we're going to announce a winner. It's not just any contest where every hour we have a winner. We're not doing that. We're not doing the fifth call or anything. This is, you know, we're serious. We're serious to the point where we are offering a $20,000 cash money. First prize to anyone who has on their rooftop, on the roof of their home, the name Phil Hendry, and it is photographed by the Google satellite, so that when you zoom in using your Google,
Google, it's called Google.
I know that, but using your Google satellite maps option.
They zoom in, I'll see it.
Yes, when you zoom in, there it is, Phil Hendry on the roof of the house. 20 G's, baby. Now, we will publish forthwith, or however you say that. I don't even know what forthwith means, but it sounds official. We will publish the rules regarding this contest, and there really is only one rule, and that is that it is an actual photograph taken from the Google satellite, or from the satellite. It's not some Photoshop shop jive. It's really my name there. And, of course, we retain the rights to the photograph. 20 grand, and we'll see. Who knows?
I'd do it.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people might do it. So there it is, and we'll see what happens. I don't know how often the Google satellite flies over. It might be something we want to research. We might want to research how current those photographs are. There's no time limit to this. All right. It's the first picture that we receive as the winner. Very first picture that we receive that we can verify is an actual photograph from outer space from a satellite that shows the name Phil Hendry on the roof of someone's house. They can claim ownership of that sign, that house. They have permission, blah, 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 you know. Because we're going to give the money to whoever owns the house. So don't even worry about it. I ain't giving it to some jackass who, you know, like you, bud, if you scale the top of someone's house.
That's what I was going to do. I was going to go on top of Robert's house, put a sign up there.
Yeah, you know, Tom, will you do that?
No, you can't do that, man. All right, so good luck. I don't know.
Good luck.
So there it is, our contest, and good luck getting a picture taken from outer space of the roof of your house. 20 grand? 20 grand is 20 grand. All right, the Phil Hendry Show, 877-877-877-Phil, 877-876-Phil. We have on the line tonight Lloyd Bonafide. He and his wife Gladys have started for a couple of years now, actually, the running of a youth center in Alhambra, California, and they've worked with kids in various areas, troubled youths, kids who need athletic outlets, kids that need some scholastic assistance. Lloyd is retired, owned a business in the Alhambra area for some 40 years in Southern California, and there are so many people like him across the country. I know you guys are out there, and you're the unsung heroes, and tonight maybe we'll sing your praises a little bit. One of the things that he's doing is working with kids to understand the political process, to understand government, to understand the country. Did you see the article today? What is it, 13 to 20% of American kids understand American history? That's a disgrace. This is the greatest country in the history of the world. And those young people are citizens of the greatest country in the history of the world, and they don't even know 20% of them, that's it? not even 20%, know the history of this country with any facility at all. I think one of the questions they asked was, what did the canals do? Now, that's a, what was, when you put canals in, the canal system, what did it do? How did it improve the country? They couldn't get the answer right.
I don't know.
You're an idiot, okay? I know you're an idiot. What do you think, Robert?
Help trade.
Help trade between the states. All right, our number 877-876-PHIL, and let's get Lloyd on the line here from Alhambra. I got Lloyd. I know you're at home tonight, Lloyd. How are you doing?
Yeah, Bill, we're doing very well.
And I know that you watched the debates last night.
Well, it was part of the... it was part of us working with many of the young people you just mentioned in the San Gabriel Valley. But I want to say at this time, you're absolutely right. And if I could reach out and shake hands with every senior out there who is working with the young, who is retired but is still giving of his or her time to help our young people, I would love to reach out and shake every one of your hands tonight because it's great work.
And I think it's particularly good when seniors do it, you know.
Absolutely, because the seniors have there's an impression of seniors that we don't care about young people, that we are retired and so forth. And I heard you mention last night that a lot of the school bond issues are defeated by selfish seniors, which may be the case. I don't know, but...
But I know you're doing great work along with your wife Gladys, and you have with the youth center, and particularly you heard what I said about history.
Yes, well, that was shocking to me, and I saw the same statistic that young people in this country don't know anything about American history. It's a disgrace. So last night, as you know, were the Republican debates.
Now, did you have any kind of an event for the kids?
Not last night. I did ask a lot of the young people that are in are getting scholastic and academic assistance if they would watch the debates and learn something about the process of selecting a candidate, don't you know, for the presidency.
Okay.
And I asked the kids to keep that in mind. I was at home watching the debates, though, with our own young person, my grandson, Joshua.
Okay, so you were watching the debates, and the leading contenders for the 2012 Republican presidential nomination appeared together on stage for the first time. That was last night in Goffstown, New Hampshire. They used the debate to train their fire on President Obama, given opportunities to critique one another's stances. The seven competitors repeatedly deflected the questions.
Pretty much, Tim Pawlenty was asked about his description of the new national health care law as Obamacare. And I thought that was interesting, but he wouldn't answer the question.
You said you were watching with your grandson?
I was watching with my grandson, Joshua.
How old is he?
Well, this is the end. Josh was only 5 years old, but let me explain something. I'm a Korean War veteran. I fought for this country in the United States Navy in 1950-1952 in the Korean conflict. And I am a fervent believer, I don't care how old a young person is, that they educate themselves to the process of democracy that we hold so very dear.
But your grandson's a five-year-old?
My grandson is a five-year-old. I understand that. But there is no reason why a five-year-old boy can't sit next to his grandfather, and the kids call us Papa and Nana, to sit next to his papa and watch the debate. And it was a troubling thing to see the child continually, getting off the couch.
Well, a little five-year-old is going to be... a little five-year-old, I guess, Lloyd, is going to be a little bit more restless.
Well, there's no question about that, but the five-year-old is also going to do what he's told, and I told him to sit there and to watch with Papa the debate, and he said, he was trying to get down. I said, what do you want? And he said he wanted to get a cookie or a cracker, I don't know what they call these cookies they have now.
Well, what was it?
It looked looked like a candy bar, and that's why I batted it out of his hand. But it was a cookie, but it looked like a candy bar.
Well, they've got these cookies now that are covered with chocolate. I see what you're saying, though, you know.
Yeah, I know. I slapped it out of his hand, and I told him to go back, and he came back with a cookie. I sat him down, and he was once again restless. Now, here is the reason why I'm talking with you today, Phil. Our young people, and listen to me, because I'm a Korean War veteran. Our young people don't even know the capital of this country. Some of these young people are so badly educated. They don't know the names of the presidents. They don't know, if you showed them a map of the world, they wouldn't know where the country is.
I understand.
And that, for me and for thousands of other veterans, we fought for this country. And we have a generation of utter imbeciles. And I say that with the greatest of respect and love for my grandson. But I said to him to stop moving.
But can I just interrupt you here for a minute?
Yes.
5 years old is 5 years old.
No, you're going back on that, Phil. I understand that.
5 years old is 5 years old. A little five-year-old boy is going to be restless.
Right, but at some point he's going to sit still and shut his... to just shut his mouth. And so that's when, and I told your producer, we've had the police to this house at least seven or eight times while we've had the grandkids, and not once have they ever arrested me or anything.
And well, what happened?
I took my grandson Joshua's head, and if you... Did you ever see Clockwork Orange? You saw how they opened, they pried the eyes open.
And you did this to a five-year-old.
Whoa. Mr. Henry, it's not that horrible a thing. I told him to sit still, and I opened the eyelids and kept them open while, and said, you stare, look at it. And I told him.
You realize that sounds crazy.
Well, my daughter called the police. And that was the most humiliating thing for me, because the police officer came to the door. I explained to him that I wasn't arrested. There was nothing happened.
So the police officer was called by your daughter?
Yes, because she came around the corner and she saw me laughing, prying the eyelids open on my grandson. And the reason why I was laughing is he looked funny. He looked a little amusing to me. Bottom line, let's get to the bottom line.
You had the cops come to the house, man. That's the bottom line for me.
No, that's not the bottom line. The bottom line is we have young people in our country that don't know history. They don't know political science. They don't know anything. If their lives depended on their knowledge of American history, they wouldn't live to see another sunrise. And that's my hand to God on that.
Lloyd, hang on, because I want to talk a little more. This is a disturbing thing, because I know the police have been to your home before, and I know that you are you're not a violent man.
No, not with my family, I'm not.
All right, hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL. Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran who sat watching the debates with his five-year-old son last night, and as his five-year-old grandson, and as his grandson got more and more restless, he pried the kid's eyelids open with his thumb and his finger, and made the kid keep watching the debates because he felt that it was the right thing for the kid to do. He's a Korean War veteran. And the police were called. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. We do have a country of kids that don't know anything about American history or the political process of this country. But just how crazy are we going to get? Even if you are a Korean War veteran. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Hotline now, 877-876-7445. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Of course I admire veterans.
Well, then what is the issue here is, as a Korean War veteran...
I know you're a veteran. I understand you're a veteran. What I don't understand is... that when you work with young people, and I know you work with young people, and by the way, folks, welcome back to the Phil Henry Show. What I have, who I have with me here, Lloyd Bonafide, he and his wife Gladys, operating a youth center in Alhambra. And I get that you and your wife both do this work. But when you're talking about a five-year-old grandchild, and you're talking about a certain level of awareness, a certain level of, you know...
Are you a grandfather, Mr. Henry?
No, sir, I'm not. But, you know, I understand kids enough, you know.
No, but you're not a grandfather, so you don't know what it is to babysit, you know. See, I love it so dearly. Here's what I love. I love this so much, I love this so much I'd ride this, you know, and I just, I shouldn't say, oh, don't worry. When I said that, though, I thrust my pelvis, and the reason why I did that is because right here, you people love to talk about how to treat kids, but you don't have any.
And I have had children, and I've seen them grow up. I've never been a grandfather.
And you've never been an elderly person who has been asked to babysit a five-year-old that my daughter asks me to do all the time, and we do that.
You've had the police to your home. A number of times. I know not all of it has to do with your grandson, but you've been, you've been involved in some, I guess, teaching exercises.
Well, you know, I don't want to get into that. That's, it prejudices me, and it's not fair. What I'm saying is, and boy, I feel it's almost wrong that you brought that up, sir.
Well, you brought up the fact the cops have been to your house 7 or 8 times.
Yes, and I've never been arrested.
No, but you're very aggressive and unusual in your methods of teaching your kids things. You've got a five-year-old grandson there who was not watching the debate.
He was squirming, and he was restless, and he was acting up. And I said to him, will you stop, Joshua? Papa wants you to watch with him.
All right. You still feel that you should have a five-year-old watching the debates?
Yes, I felt I should have a five-year-old watching the debates because these kids, no one tells them what to do. So I told the child to sit still, and when he would not turn that down, will you please, Gladys? And so I said to him, I want you to sit there and to keep your mouth shut while you and Papa watch the debate. Now he kept crying, and he wanted to go get another of his cookie bar that his grandmother had made. She made these cookies that she put chocolate on them, and they looked like, I thought it was a candy bar, and it wasn't. He wanted to get another one. All it is sugar, and keeps him amped up like one of these guys I used to see in the sick bay on the ship. These guys that were Benzedrine addicts. And so, you know what I mean, Phil?
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, I said, you will sit there, and that's when I opened his eyes up with my thumb and my forefinger on both hands. I clamped his head between both hands while I had the eyeballs, but the eyes were open. And so what I was doing was, I was not hurting him. I held his hand, or I held his head in my hands. I then opened the eyelids up using my thumbs and forefingers so that his eyeballs were bugging out of his head, and that's why I started laughing, by the way. And I said to him, look at it good. Now, that's in the police report, too, because my daughter heard that.
And that's when your daughter came around the corner.
That's when my daughter, who asked me and her mother to babysit the boy, now she's got opinions. Now she...
Well, what was she doing? Was she in the house?
No, she and the guy she married came home. At
the guy she married? Who is that? The Joshua's father?
Yes, Joshua's father.
So, your son-in-law?
He's the man that my daughter married.
All right.
They came home a few minutes before, and she came around the corner, and she saw me holding the kid's head. That's when she called the police, and that's what I feel was so wrong to do to a veteran, trying to teach children.
All right, I understand. And I still don't think that you dealt with that boy the best way you could. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, folks. We're talking here with Lloyd Bonafide. Do you think, even though he's a Korean War veteran, he did the right thing by forcing a five-year-old to watch the debates with him, even to the point where he held the child's eyes open? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Will be right back.
That's what I do.
Phil Hendry. Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran, a man who you had a business in the San Gabriel Valley of Southern California. And I know that we're speaking to, as you mentioned, seniors all over the country. Is that a siren?
Yeah, well, she's got the television on it.
Okay. It's all right. And you're doing good work as a senior.
No, we represent thousands of senior citizens, millions of senior citizens all over this country, trying to straighten the lives of these kids out. And you may have questions about my grandson being 5 years old or whatever, but a lot of guys died so that, you know, a young kid like that would be able to, you know, enjoy freedom. And so when he wasn't watching the debates, I had to say to myself, I will not let, I've seen too many guys die so that child sits there and squirms around on a couch. And so I grabbed that child, I pinned him against me, holding his head, and opened his eyes up and forced his eyes open.
And forcing the child's, at the age of five, forcing his eyes open right away is going to be perceived as child abuse.
Hold on for a minute. Don't you dare say that. The police came and they left, and I had eye drops, which I applied liberally every, I would say, 10 or 15 seconds. I had just regular water eye drops, solution. Just a solution for the eyes. And
so you had this child's head in your hands with his eyes forced open by your fingers, and you were putting eye drops in.
Yes. And I said, because I'd had it, he went into the kitchen from his nana, and he got a cookie. And I had said to him, go get your cookie, God. And I even took the Lord's name in vain, because I wanted him to watch this political process. And I said to him, Joshua, you go get a cookie. I love you. You know that Papa loves you, but you go get your cookie. And I swear to God, and I held myself back. And
what are you holding yourself back from?
What is the question, sir?
You're talking about a five-year-old child going to get a cookie.
I'm telling you, as a Korean War veteran.
All right, I understand. I'm sorry, Lloyd. I understand that you're a Korean War veteran, and you don't want to have the veterans disrespected, and you want the veterans to be respected, and that means the kids need to understand their American political science and history. But he's five. He's 5 years old.
I don't care how old. Yes, he's five. He's old enough to waddle around and get a cookie, isn't he? He's old enough to go and bother his grandmother, isn't he? He's old enough to bother people. He could bother me to the point of a stroke. You understand what I'm saying? My five-year-old grandson could bug me and bother me and keep on bugging and bothering me until I collapse from a stroke in our driveway.
Has that happened?
Has what happened?
Have you had a stroke?
No, God, you're almost as stupid as my grandson.
No. Lloyd, what you came on this program tonight to talk about was getting young people interested in the political process. I had no idea you had a five-year-old grandson who...
You knew I had a grandson.
Now, hold on. Yes, I knew you had a grandson. I had no idea that you had a five-year-old grandson who was going to have to sit and watch the Republican debates with you then you're going to pry his eyeballs open, drop solution in them, and you're going to have to talk to a cop.
Yes, because my daughter called the police. And
you were not arrested.
No, I wasn't arrested. Here comes this L.A. sheriff, and they've been to my home 8 times, and I even said to this guy, you've been to my home 8 times, the L.A. County Sheriff.
Is that a badge of honor?
Sir, Mr. Henry, if you'll listen for a minute, instead of trying to be the smart, funny, trying to be a big ass, Mr. Smartass, and trying to be the big, funny ass.
I'm trying to listen to you.
All right. Then listen, instead of trying to be the big, Mr. Laughing Man. You know, they've got out in the desert Burning Man. You know what that is?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, every year they have, and I get together with a couple of, my wife and I get together with another couple, and we go to Burning Man, and we have an RV, and we go to the desert. Well, let me tell you, Laughing Man and Burning Man.
Whatever that means, sir.
Well, it means it's a short step from being a ha-ha-ha to a guy that's running down the street with no clothes on fire. And let me tell you, I knew some guys in World War II, and they saw the Japanese come out of those caves nude as the day they were born. Only one problem, they were lit up like a Christmas tree on New Year's Day. And I can tell you...
Can we stick to the point here? Let's get back to the point here.
My grandson.
Yeah, your grandson. Talking about the Japanese on fire and Laughing Boy and Burning Man.
You were making jokes... And
I don't think it's funny when a 5-year-old child is held against his will with his eyes pried open by his grandfather to watch a political debate on TV, no matter how important it may be. I understand that our young people are not very bright when it comes to American history. That's a tragedy. I understand that our young people are not very bright when it comes to political process. That's a tragedy that unfortunately they will find out eventually in their lives. I know it doesn't mean much now. So I'm with you on all of this.
All right.
But I don't understand how any of that is applicable to one so young. And if you'll just please, Mr. Bonafide, I understand that even at the age of 5, with all of that mobility and all of that energy and all of that intelligence, it seems like we can set our 5-year-olds down and they can comprehend these things.
Well, and why am I not allowed to try that, sir?
Well, I'm not even saying that you're not allowed to try it, but when you sit a kid down and you pry his eyes open with your fingers and your thumb...
Yes, that's right, and I didn't hurt him at all. And if you'd seen the film, the Clockwork Orange, in which...
Yeah, that was a torture process that was used in some futuristic society.
It was a process... Boy, you don't know anything about the history of the film business, do you? I went and saw that film. With Gladys, we were married, I don't know, a few years. It was about a violent punk, a dirty, filthy punk, and they made him into a decent young man by sticking his eyeballs. So get those eyes open and let's take a look at it. You know what I mean?
I saw the movie, sir.
You saw the film, and why am I talking about it?
I saw the movie, and here's what I saw. I saw the character played by Malcolm McDowell, who's a violent gang member, you're right. And so they decide that they're going to change his brain chemistry by brainwashing him. And
boy, you got to make this into War and Peace? God almighty, just say...
I'm going to explain it the way I want to explain it.
All they did, they pried his eyes open. They pried the eyeball open, he looked at a bunch of Nazis, and that's the last time he ever raped a woman in her home. Oh, my. You keep out of it. I'm sorry, sir.
Well, you really have a problem.
I have a problem. Malcolm McDowell raped a woman in a home. And
not Malcolm McDowell.
I mean the punk that he played. And they took that punk, opened up his eyeballs, and said, take a look at that. And it was a Nazi shooting a guy and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and get what happened. The kid wasn't violent no more.
In that film... The kid's violent instincts are brainwashed out of him so much that he's no longer able to defend himself, so that when he is set upon by a couple of police officers who want to abuse him and brutalize him, he can't defend himself. And when he's set on by the family of that woman that he raped, and they want to torture him, he can't defend himself.
Good. Good. That's what I say to that. Good.
And so you find that to be the very best way to educate someone. Pry open their eyelids, make them stare at it, and they are helpless in the face of this indoctrination.
I'm not brainwashing my grandson. I just wanted to, you know, I'm going to say something now. I don't mean this. I love that little boy so much. I just wanted that dirty, filthy little brat to look at it.
And dirty, filthy little brat.
Don't make a big deal out of that. I call him that all the time.
You do, huh?
Yes, I do, and don't make a big deal.
You got the cops coming over there 8-9 times, your daughter calling them. Here's a little boy that you're prying his eyes open.
He loves the hell out of his papa. Don't worry about that. But that lousy little punk.
What are you bawling about?
Bawling? I'm not bawling. I'm so angry that I'm crying because I don't have something to rip apart.
You sure you don't need a little bit of help, you know?
What's that crack supposed to mean?
Are you sure you don't need some kind of help?
Oh, I get it. So I need a mentalist.
I'm asking, do you need a little VA time?
No, I don't need any VA time. I'm telling you that when I sat that little boy down and pried his eyes open and I said, you look at that, because there are men who died, so you would I said, look at it. And he's 5 years old, he's staring at it, and the eyeballs are bugged out. I start to laugh. That's when the cop came to the door, and they thought I was half mad, because I was laughing hysterically, but I wasn't laughing at the fact that the kid was uncomfortable. I was laughing because his eyeballs were bugged out of his mouth. Oh, forget it.
Hey, you know, Mr. Bonafide, you're your own worst enemy.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You think you're doing well. Anybody that tells you no, here's a better way, you think there's some kind of a commie.
No, not a commie. A man, you would never been a Korean veteran? Have you? Had you been?
No.
All right. And our grandfather. Hang it up.
Mr. Bonafide, I thank you for being on our show.
Yeah, sure. Sure you do. When I hang up, you're going to laugh yourself until you urinate. Hang it up. I don't give a sweet. Hang it up.
Who are you talking to?
My grandson.
Well, why don't you hang it up, okay?
No, I want him to hang it. Hang it up. Papa says to hang it up.
I don't want to.
You don't want to. Did you hear that? You heard it. Everyone's a witness. He said, I don't want to.
Yeah?
That's a five-year-old. Hang that phone up. This is your papa talking to you. I'm older than you. I went to Korea. I can just hang it up. Up your... Up mine.
That's what I heard him say.
The kid, the five-year-old, told me to stick it way up there. All right, give me the phone. I'll hang it up. Here, I'm going to hang it up. Yeah, it's pissing him off now because he thought it was going to get hung up.
Okay, I'll see you later.
Well, is that the end of the...
So that's how that goes. Thanks so very much to our producer, Bud Dickman, for booking that.
Well, that thought was pretty interesting before he started to pry the kid's eyeball open.
Yeah, that guy's obviously got other issues besides whether there are young people in our society that understand things, you know.
Well, why'd that kid cry to him?
Because I guess the kid didn't want the phone to get hung up. I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. Still to come, Art Griego is going to discuss how the economy is affecting the wedding industry. He's a wedding photographer. And that's coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and some other news and information for you as well.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Line, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show. And if you're if you want to talk to me, Art, about, or excuse me, Lloyd, about the education of kids.
Who's Art?
That's my next guest. I apologize. I misspoke.
You've already got me out of the building. I've got a grandson here. Get off of that. Get off my leg, will you? I've got a grandson here. Did you get him? Hold on, Phil. You know.
Well, I can move on, okay?
Hold on, will you? Just please, get him off of me, will you? Get it off me. My grandson's hanging on to my leg. Papa doesn't want you hanging on. What I said was this. I said that I tried to educate my grandson by making him sit down and get him off of me, will you?
What is he doing?
He's hanging on my leg. You think that's funny, huh?
Yeah.
What is with this kid? I don't understand.
And you ask why the cops have been here 8 times, huh? I'm telling you right now, that kid's the bad seed. You think that this Casey Anthony's got problems? Get it off me. Get away from me. The point that I'm making here...
Do you understand that we started out talking about how we should educate our kids as to American history?
Yes.
And now what we have here is a kid that's the bad seed...
Turn it down. Hold on, Phil. Turn it down. Turn it down. I'll come over there and I'll beat him. I'll beat him with my fists, with my closed fists. I will. There you go. Yeah, that did it, didn't it, huh? Yeah, I wouldn't dare. Now the kid's taunting me. See, this is... Do you feel any differently now, Mr. Henry?
I think if the kid is taunting you and doing things like that, and you think there's a problem with this child, the kid needs to go to a behaviorist. The last thing he needs is you prying his eyeballs open, staring at some TV show.
Last night, we were watching the debate. I wanted it to be a nice moment for me and my grandson. I love him very much, and he loves me. But no, he's got to go get a cookie, and then he comes back, and he opens, you know, he's opening drawers, and then he... You know, and I understand he's a little boy, but he's making, you know, breaking wind on purpose. And
a five-year-old doesn't do any of that stuff on purpose. A five-year-old is a five-year-old.
Is that right? Well, you just saw where he... Come here for a minute. Papa wants you to watch the debates with him. Why didn't you? Up mine. You heard that, huh?
No, I didn't.
Well, he just told me up yours.
I did not hear that.
Well, is that supposed to mean what? Is that supposed to mean it didn't happen? Come here for a minute. Ow!
What did he do?
You little... He bit me. I'm telling you right now, Henry. You saw that movie, The Bad Seed?
You got a bigger problem here, man, than teaching children about the political process.
All he needs is discipline.
Yeah. No, he doesn't.
That kid is going to... I swear to God, I'm going to be asleep someday, and he's going to set fire to my bed. Oh, don't... Oh, come on me, Gladys. You know what that kid's capable of. I know what he's capable of. His mother knows what he's capable of. And the police, the L.A. County Sheriff, know what he's capable of. He just hasn't done it yet. Yeah, that felt good.
Hey, Lloyd, pay attention to me for just a second.
Yes, sir.
It sounds to me like a situation there in your home that you do not have control over. Now, hold on. Before you make any comment at all, I want to just say this. It sounds like a situation in your home, if you could turn that down.
Turn it down, will you? Get the kid to turn it down! I'll kill it! I'll kill the kid! Now he ran down. He loves it. Here's another thing, and this pisses me off. His mother lets him do it. He runs around here nude, all right? Before he takes his bath, he runs around nude. Now, he runs around nude, and he runs around nude, and he waits to see if we have any people coming over. Then when he sees we have guests, then he especially runs around nude. Now, sooner or later, he's hoping the cops will show up while he's nude. And you know what that means?
I understand.
You know what that means for me?
I understand, sir. 877-876-PHIL.
Hold on. Get some clothes on it, will you? I don't care what you want. Get your clothes on.
Is the kid...
His mother. Patsy, put some clothes on that brat before I pick him up, and I swear to God, I'll kick him like a football. I'll kick him like a football. I will. And you know I mean that.
No, you're not going to do that, Lloyd.
I won't? Oh, really? And who are you?
I'm Phil Henry. You're not going to do that. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to a phone call we have here. Wayne in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Wayne, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, hi.
Yes, sir.
My opinion, I think he's just enough but abuse.
in my opinion.
No, sir. I didn't do anything to that child that he hasn't been begging for.
You bull, okay? My father's a veteran. My father served in the Air Force and is a veteran. My father never treated me. He does anything. You're his grandfather. You should be treating this kid with more respect than what you're doing to him.
That's what I did do. All I did was pried his eyeballs off his eyes.
That's abuse.
That's not abuse. And what about what he did to me?
And pours his eyes open. That is
right.
Abuse, kid.
Right.
No, it's not. I put eye drops in.
Yes, it is. I work with child protective agencies and stuff like that.
I put eye drops in his eyeballs, and I laughed.
Eye drops. That's just like taking a child and saying, I'm going to smack you on the behind. Oh, I'm going to baby it now. I'm okay. That's bull crap. You are and you're supposed to be showing your grandson with respect, not abusing him.
Phil and
to respect me. Respect me more than he has.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots, and that means we are here for you. And we're here to do just one thing. That is lockstep, join hands, and walk right over top of all the meatheads and the idiots that have attempted to make this country such an insufferable place to live in. And our number is 877-876-PHIL. And this hour, we're going to talk with Art Griego about the wedding season. And has the struggling economy affected the wedding industry? It's a wedding season, and photographer Art Griego, who's also done some work as a private pilot. I think we can probably take that off the screen now, bud.
That is pretty interesting.
We're showing a picture that was done of me by an artist named Kanatha Grisvard and Amanda Green. Both of them do these little art pieces, and they send them to me, and they look really strange.
That one looks just like you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Anyway, so welcome back, folks, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. That means you can go over to our website and get a backstage pass and watch the show as well as listen to it. Phil TV in HD. We got it all going on here with high-definition video and just a beautiful picture right now. I'm sitting in front of the El Pacifico, which is where our broadcast studios are located here in the land of the fog and the sea lions. Now, get yourself a backstage pass and you'll figure it all out. Don't worry about it. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. So, as we mentioned, we're in a down economy, and don't we all know it? Especially those of us who own businesses or who have recently started businesses. Those of us who are in the midst of perhaps trying to expand a business. Art Griego is with us. And Art, you started out as a, and where are you, in Santa Monica?
Phil, I'm at the Santa Monica Airport right now. It's kind of busy. I'm in the restaurant right now.
And you started out as a commercial pilot. You went into the business of private charters. And now you're doing photography. You're kind of a renaissance man.
Well, I've been doing photography all of my life. And it was only in the last, I'd say, year that I decided to get into the business of photography for as a commercial enterprise, Phil. So my wife gave me the idea of Wedding Portraits by Art.
And it's called Wedding Portraits by Art?
That's my business. And we will go to weddings and take these photographs, not only of obviously the bride and the groom, but of the extended family and the wedding receptions and so forth. And
how is business? So we were talking about the business, the economy being down.
Well, business is very rough. Business is very rough. You have to, in my line of work, at least the way I see it, the best thing you can do is to take a series of photographs at a wedding and hope that one or two of them is noticed by one of the big wedding magazines, and you get the photograph published in Bridal Magazine or Wedding Magazine or one of these. So I am constantly on the lookout for photographs for jobs, really, where that's going to happen. And you'll get hired to do a wedding shoot. You show up, and you have an opportunity to do some work. You know, I just saw in the paper today, Phil, Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, was it in the paper?
It was in one of the later editions, or maybe I saw it on a website.
Yeah, Hugh Hefner's wedding to Crystal Harris is called off. I haven't had time to look into that. We will cover that in our next hour, but suffice it to say, that would have been a great job, huh?
Oh, it would have been a fantastic job to have. She's a very, very beautiful woman, and Mr. Hefner is has a beautiful, without question, a beautiful home. They're the Playboy Mansion where he lives, so that's the kind of a dream job that you would like to have, and unfortunately, that one, I don't know who had that job, but...
Well, he's out the job, too. So everybody, all the caterers, think of that.
Oh, yeah. But it can be a lucrative business. But these days, it's been tougher because I'll show up for a job. I think I have the job in hand, and I show up, and I look at the couple, and immediately you sort of feel your shoulders slump a little bit, and the only thing you can do is start to put the equipment back in the bag.
And what do you mean you look at the couple? You'll show up.
You'll show up and you'll see the couple. And if you put together what I'm telling you right now with what I said to you a few minutes ago about being able to get a picture into Bridal Shower magazine, being able to get a picture into Modern Bride, if I show up and I see the couple and the bride is going to be not acceptable, You can go ahead and do the job if you want. I choose not to.
When you say that the bride's not acceptable, you're talking about to have a published picture?
Yeah. And just to... the first thing you want is a really beautiful set of pictures.
But isn't that up to the couple?
Well, it's up... Of course it's up to the couple, Phil.
Isn't that... I want some beautiful pictures for my wedding. You know, I don't know what the bride or the groom or whoever would say to you. You know?
Well, they want you to come and take the standard array of photographs for their wedding, having to do with the ceremony, having to do the formal portrait, having to do the family portraits. There are a series of them that you have pictures taken of the groom and his groomsmen, the bride and her bridesmaids, so on and so forth.
Right. So you're there to take these pictures.
I'm there to take the pictures, yes. But the problem that we run into in the wedding photograph business is that you show up and you immediately realize there's no way that you're going to make any money, any real money on this job.
And the real money is your being able to sell one of these photographs to a big magazine?
Yeah.
What if the couple doesn't want you to do that?
Well, I mean, generally it's pretty lucrative. And you'll say it's a limited rights thing. So you can say to the couple, if I'm able to sell one of these photographs or two of them to one of the bridal magazines, you'll get a piece of the fee. And it's a limited use thing.
So they only use it for a certain amount of time.
Right. But if I show up and I see the situation has gone bad.
And I you're using a little bit of code here, man.
I'm sorry, Phil. I'm trying to as professionally as I can.
Well, when you say you show up and the situation's gone bad...
Say it's gone south or it's gone sour. It's like if food goes bad. A wedding shoot will go bad. The same way food goes bad. The way... I shouldn't say this, but I heard in the Casey Anthony trial you were mentioning, they said the smell of a...
Yeah, a decomposing body.
Right. Well, I can tell you right now, a wedding photography job can get as... It'll go as bad as something that smells like that.
And well, I don't know what you meaning what, Art? You're not making enough money.
You're not going to make any money, and so if I get a call and they book me and they say we would like to book you, and
well, don't you meet these people ahead of time?
Not always. They've seen my work. They call me up. They asked me to come down.
So you don't meet them ahead of time?
No.
So they call you up and they book you. You're not signing any contract.
No, they just say, would you please? Yes, I will. Where is it going to be? It's going to be at the Riviera Country Club. It's going to be at Rancho Park. In other words, when they mention it's going to be at some high-end place,
then you're more likely to want to take the job?
No, absolutely. And then you show up, and everything has just rotted away from the... It smells like that car.
Yeah. All right, I don't understand. I don't think that's a very apropos comparison. I don't want to use that. But you're saying...
What I'm saying is the job went bad.
Because the bride is what?
The bride is too big. She's not going to be lovely enough to get me any kind of... Believe me, Phil, when I tell you, every bride is beautiful. Every bride is beautiful.
If every bride were beautiful, Art, you would be, taking these jobs.
Well, I take the job if I need the job, but it's not... Every bride is beautiful, but not every bride is beautiful enough for wedding portraits by Art.
And because you're not going to make any money selling or leasing the rights of that photograph.
That is correct, because she's not the slender, look at... I can tell you this, Phil, the Crystal Harris-Hugh Hefner wedding was the event of the season. Why? Because she is, in the parlance of the street, not the way I talk, not the way you talk, but the way someone who lives in the gutter would talk. But let's just be clear, in that she's a piece of ass. Okay.
All right, well, if we're not talking like we live in the street, let's not do it then.
No, I was using their terminology.
Let's use terminology that a couple of educated men would use.
All right.
She's a beautiful woman.
She's a beautiful woman, absolutely. And forgive me, Phil, but I wanted to, that doesn't hit home as much.
And to me it does. It's perfectly fine. So you have a beautiful woman, and this is a job that you want to do. I have to tell you, you want to go to weddings, and then you see that the bride is too large or too fat or whatever you call it.
I did not use that word.
Okay. You turn around and leave?
You have to.
And what happens to these people who had an understanding that you were going to photograph their wedding?
The understanding is, and that's why I'm on your show tonight, I want people to understand that you're not going to take pictures of a wedding when the bride is that size.
And what size are we talking about?
We're talking about a size that she's going to take up. I don't know what do you mean?
When a bride is that size, you don't want to take the picture, the wedding pictures. What size are we talking about?
We're talking about a woman big enough to fill up. If you're talking about an 8x10, let's say, she's going to fill most of one half of it.
I don't know what that means.
You can take a look. If you take an 8x10...
All right, I'm going to do this on camera. In fact, people can see at home. Here's a sheet of paper. Bud, how many inches?
Hold on. How many inches is what?
The paper.
Well, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Let's just say this is an 8x10. One half of this fully?
The entire half. But it would vary, of course, because I don't think that's a real 8x10. But if she's big enough to dwarf... things around her. Or if it's just a case that there are other problems, such as the teeth. I mean, I don't know how far you want me to go with this.
Well, in other words, if she's ugly?
I don't want to use that word.
Well, that's where you're going. She's fat and ugly.
No, Phil, I would rather not say. I'm just simply saying... You asked me how was business.
Yeah, it sounds to me like business is pretty good and you're turning jobs down. You know?
No, I am not.
Well, wait a minute. Yes, you are.
No.
Yes, you are. You're going out to a job that you have been hired to do. You see that the bride is either too big or her teeth are bad or something. So you said to me that your shoulders slump, you feel bummed out, you put the stuff back in the bag and you split.
I have no choice at that point.
Well, it doesn't sound to me like business is bad. Hold on for just a minute here, Art. We have to take a break. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. This is a man who, Art Griego, who does wedding photographs. but turns down jobs if the bride is too large or if she's got bad teeth or something because he can't lease these photos to big magazines. And I don't know if any of you ever had an experience where a photographer showed up and then turned around and left. But that's what he's done on a couple of jobs. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And we're in an economy, and he's turning jobs down because the bride's too big. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
On the line with me, we have Art Griego with us. Mr. Griego is a wedding photographer. We've talked to Art in the past about aviation issues also, but you have been doing this for the last year, Wedding Portraits by Art. And you're saying that you're struggling.
Well, business has been really bad. If it doesn't pick up, you know, like everything else, we certainly would be looking towards some sort of a helping hand from our government, like any business would want. But I'm in big trouble, you know, and every business is. I understand that.
But you're turning business down.
No, I'm not. I'm not turning business down. I don't understand when you say turning business down. I can't use it. I go to a job that's gone bad. I go to a job that has gone bad, like a bad, exposed meat in a refrigerator.
And how is a job, when you say you go to a job and it's gone bad?
Yes.
You're saying that you go to a job and you see a bride.
I can't do it. I can't make any money with that. She's that size.
But you could still take the gig and take the photographs, right?
It's not any kind of real money. The real money, the real home run money, is being able to lease some of these photographs. I can't do it, Phil. I'm telling you, I would love to be able to do it, but I can't do it when you look at a bride that looks like that. And some of these weddings are a little rural, and the teeth, if you're taking a picture and the teeth are not symmetrical, the light catches a tooth, and it literally can blind you to death. It'll blind your eyes. It'll burn the eyes right out of your skull if the light catches a tooth that is sticking out. So,
I've never heard of anything like this before in my life. I don't know anything about photography. I've never heard of a guy turning down jobs.
I'm not turning down jobs. They're going rotten on me. They're hostile to the economy.
Well, you have not made the case, though, Art, that the jobs are, quote, going rotten on you. All you're saying is you can't take pictures of a bride who's too big. 877-876-PHIL. John in Louisville, Kentucky. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
This guy is a wacko. I don't know what he's talking about. Do you know how much it costs to get wedding pictures at a wedding? Thousands of dollars.
That's exactly right.
Hours,
exactly right.
Thousands.
No,
how much
did
your wedding pictures cost? This guy is a wacko.
I don't make thousands. I don't make thousands. The problem is, first of all, are you a photographer?
No, I'm not a photographer. I have friends.
Well, then you don't know anything about it. You don't know anything about it.
Come on,
I'm a guy.
Photographers. I have friends. And I just did a
wedding. You have friends.
As a DJ, you're a wacko, man. You can go out there. You've got a lucrative business. Be an American. Get out there and work. Here it is.
No, I don't have a lucrative business. I don't have a lucrative business when I show up, and she's the size of a house.
Too bad, man.
What?
I wish if I had the skills and had a camera, I'd go out to.
Exactly. You wish. You wish you had the skills. You wish you had the skills. Good point. You don't. I do.
Why don't you use your skills?
I am. I'm telling you something about the business that you don't know. You think you know the business. You don't.
Hey.
No. You don't know anything about my business.
To get pictures. It takes thousands of dollars to get pictures.
Let me ask you. How do you know all of this? How many times have you been married? What are you talking? Where are you getting this information?
I have a friend that's a wedding photographer. I have a friend.
You have a friend.
He gets $1,000.
Well, he said that.
As a DJ, to do wedding pictures, you're talking about a couple of $1,000. And some of these guys do two weddings in a weekend.
You can do.
I don't know what you're talking
about. You can do, Mr. Henry. I'd like to say something.
Go ahead.
You can do $2,000 if you get the job. If you show up and she's too big, you don't get. You can't do the job.
No. Nobody's firing. No one's firing you from the job, right?
No. What do you mean no one's firing me from the job?
You go there. You got the job. You can do the job.
No, you can't.
You don't take
You can't
pictures.
Do.
That's not
you
good business.
How am I supposed
sure
to do it when she's that big?
Man, I think you need to go to business school.
No, you need to go to photographer school so you know what my business is about. I'm not trying to tell you your business, whatever it is. I will tell you that when you show up and she's the size of what, you know, use your imagination. No way.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. That man, in my opinion, was, you know, I agree with him. He was almost apoplectic. He couldn't believe what he was hearing.
Well, you know, that, he can be as apoplectic. He's got a friend who's a DJ at a wedding. He's got a friend who's a wedding photographer. Well, here's a guy that's really upwardly mobile.
You know, well, he's talking about a couple of people that he knows that make all this money.
Well, you can't make that kind of money.
Yes, if you turn around and you walk off of a wedding because the bride is too large, as you put it.
All right, you want me to be, I'll be great. She's fat. Fat and ugly.
Well, that's pretty cruel and crude for a guy who's supposed to work with people for a living, a man who is supposed to make a beautiful day even more beautiful, a guy who is supposed to present to the happy couple portraits of themselves and their families in a happy moment. She's too fat and ugly, you say, so you turn around and you walk out on the job.
You have not given me the opportunity here, Phil, to explain to you and to your audience just exactly how important it is that they drop a few pounds before I can do anything with the picture. Otherwise, they're going to look at me when I walk into Bridal Shower magazine or Modern Bride, and they're going to say, oh, here he comes. It's Griego again with more of these beasts.
And all right, hold on for a minute. 877, here, it's Griego again. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Talking about...
Phil Henry. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have with us Art Griego from Portraits by Art as we talk about the wedding season, June. You've had jobs that you have walked out on because you say they are hostile to your economics. And I want you to define that. Other than saying you show up, Art, and the bride is too large, or she doesn't have the right figure, or something.
Phil, that's it in a nutshell. I'm not here to judge any human being or to say that someone is not beautiful or what have you, but I know what my business requires. If I show up for a job to take pictures, a wedding portrait, and the two people that I'm looking at, you know, you want to just... You feel the disappointment. That's all I'm saying. You feel like you've been kicked in the gut when you turn the corner and you look at the I forget what it's called, where they stand under it.
You're a photographer and you don't know the names of these things?
No, I don't. It's the I call it the archway.
I mean, I don't either, but I would think you'd know this.
You don't either, but you're telling me. I mean, I would just point this out, Mr. Henry. What the arch thing is for weddings, not everybody knows.
Yeah. I would think that a wedding photographer would. So you turn the corner.
And what?
You say you turn the corner.
Well, I turn the corner and I see some, you know, and then I take that picture to Bridal Magazine. And I have been more than one time had a receptionist at Modern Bride saying, here comes Art and his petting zoo. Here comes Art. And
you're telling me that's what they're calling these brides?
Ones that when they're that size, yes, sir.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, talking about bridal pictures and why some of them he can't take. Here is Paul in Lafayette, Louisiana. Go ahead, sir.
You know, know. I just want to know how he gets work. If this is genuinely his name, and my mom's a professional wedding photographer, you're putting your name out there on a national photographer to show up and shoot the wedding, regardless of their of what they look like. I don't understand how you get work.
I just have to ask you, Paul, to watch your language a little bit there. Art, go ahead. That's all right.
Yeah, well, the gentleman just said, what do you want me to say?
I think you should answer his question.
Well, his question was, how do I get... I get a lot of work. Because people want...
Oh, sorry.
Well, they want to have their pictures taken. And okay. So I show up. And what have they done to me? See, I'm giving them my job. I'm coming with my cameras. I'm coming with my lights. I'm coming with all of the stuff that I got my assistant. And your mother does the work, so you know. And what are they giving me? They're giving me a bride that looks... They're giving me a bride with the big, you know, shoulders and...
Shoulders.
It just sounds... It sounds like you're in the wrong business because the day...
No, I'm in the right business.
Well, the day that my mom walks off a wedding is the last day she shoots a wedding because, you know, in this day and age of technology and how fast your name travels with Yelp and everything... Why would anyone go to Art when he's just, you know, depending on how you look, he's going to determine whether he's going to pole vault himself into a weddings magazine?
Well, wait a minute. I want to ask you a question. When your mother takes a picture, does she try to get these sold to, does she try to sell pictures to Modern Bride and to big magazines? I'm sure she does.
Yes, of course. In fact, naturally, yes, but other than that, she does it to capture special moments in people's lives. She doesn't do it to capitalize on it.
Let's talk turkey here for a minute. Yeah, let's talk turkey here for a minute. Your name's Paul. Paul, you sound like a good guy, and I know you love your mother, but let's talk business for a second.
What?
No, you know, I'm very happy to go and capture a happy moment, blah, blah, blah. That's great. I'm here to make myself a nice dollar. I want to make a beautiful dollar, okay? Now, I turn the corner, and there is a bride with the big, I can only say the big shoulders. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
What are you talking about?
The big woman.
Okay.
I can't do it. I have a physical inability.
Is that
you understand what I'm saying, Paul?
Depending on how you look, that determines whether you're going to shoot them. Like, I just couldn't see the
That's a very good point.
You know what? I got to go.
You have to. I don't know how your mother does it. She's going to show up, and she turns the corner, and there's a woman there who's got that big, thick neck.
She finds the beauty of every individual.
That's what you do with the picture. All right, Paul, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call here. We have Dave. Go ahead, Dave. That's what a photographer is.
Phil, I don't need him to tell me what a photographer is. I know what a photographer is.
Go ahead, Dave.
I think that man from Arch, he ought to be put out of business. I mean, people like him, look at Karen Carpenter. I don't know if you're old enough to remember her, but she died because of people like him.
Who are you talking about?
Karen Carpenter had anorexia.
Exactly.
I'm not asking a woman.
Exactly.
I'm not asking a woman to starve herself.
Because people judgmental on their weight, on their size, on everything. And he is being very judgmental on on their appearance.
What?
Now, if he wants to be a Nazi, that's what he needs to do.
Right.
What does that mean?
If you want to photograph really
good-looking
people, then go out and photograph good-looking people.
I do wedding photographs.
Well,
he's portraits by art.
I'll tell you that.
I went and started a business. I had cards made. I have a sign in the door, wedding portraits by art. Now, you want me to go ahead and set fire to all of that figuratively, and go out in the street someplace with a bunch of other sweating idiots? No, not me.
Well, what do you
think
you are? You're being judgmental to every woman that's walking the face of the earth, that their most beautiful day in the world is the day they get married. And what difference does it make whether she's a size 1 or a size 21?
The difference is...
And you're hired to take the pictures, and I'll tell you what, if I hired someone to take pictures of my daughter's wedding and they walked out, I'd be their worst nightmare. Because
you recognize my right that if I were to take pictures at your daughter's wedding and I turn the corner and she's got all that thickness,
you recognize my right to leave, don't you?
The thickness? Yeah, well, what are you talking
about? You don't contract the hire to do a job and base it just on some of the parents. I'll tell you what.
I want to know. I want to know. But just hold on for just a second, Dave.
When you leave this world and go to the other side, we're all level at the foot of the cross. And when the Lord
I don't play that. Okay. Yeah, that's fine, sir. And I'm sure you're right.
I hope you go out of business.
I'm sure you're right, sir. I'm sure that you're right that I'll burn in hell. But before I do, we're on my time.
I can't judge. You know, I can't judge.
We're on my time. You know, as Jason Patrick said in that great movie, I forget what, Your Friends and Neighbors, he said, you know, if it turns out that this God thing is real, then I'll have to deal with it. Until then, we're on my time. All right?
Yeah, I
what is whatever. You know, whatever, man.
What do you mean, whatever? What, you know, what do you mean, whatever?
What, you're the guy that's saying whatever.
No, I thought you did.
No, you did. You said whatever.
Well, I'm just trying to tell this guy that I'm here to make a living, not to take pictures of wildlife.
Boy, you know something? I can only repeat what the other chap said. And, Dave, thank you very much for your call. You know.
Well, sir, I have to tell you, I'm the piece of work. Why is it that I have to take pictures of these big women, and I can't sell any to Modern Bride magazine, and I'm eating out of a can? Every night, I'm opening a can up and eating out of it.
Why do you eat out of a can?
Because it reminds me I want to eat out of a can until I make some real good money.
Well, I don't know what that means. Thank you very much, Dave, for your call. 877.
What do you, you don't know what it means.
877-876-PHIL. I'm talking here with Art Griego.
No, I want to know. What do you mean you don't know what it means?
I don't know. What does that mean, you're eating out of a can?
I eat out of cans until such time as I sell a job to Modern Bride, and then I'll sit down with a plate and silverware and a napkin.
And why are you eating out of the can?
Because I'm poor.
Are you telling me that you don't have silverware?
You don't understand. Yes, I've got silverware, and yes, I've got plates. But I'm not, you can't talk. The economy's bad, and I don't even want to think about it. I'm depressed, and I'm eating out of a can.
Why don't you eat off of plates and use silverware and the napkins that you say you own?
Mr. Henry, you're harassing me.
No, I'm asking you. You said you eat out of a can.
I do. Every night I open a can up and I eat over a sink. How does that... Do you do that?
No, I don't.
Well, of course you don't, because you make good money.
Well, are you starving to get to death?
Am I what?
Are you starving to death?
I'm eating out of a can.
Well, what you're telling me is this. You're eating out of a can so you can get sympathy where you could actually afford to eat off of plates, and you don't.
I have not referenced that at all.
All right, well, I don't even want to talk about that because that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. The stupidest thing that I've ever heard in my life. We're going to continue, though, talking about your business, why you're turning down business. And
well, this other gentleman who was talking to me about me going to hell, now that's a new low on any radio program that I've been on.
Well, we're not going to talk about that. The only thing that we need to discuss here is this idea that the women that you photograph, if they're too large, you get this reputation at bridal magazines that here comes Art in his petting zoo. And you're not in the process, you're not in the business of photographing wildlife. And all of these other insults.
I don't want to be insulting, Phil. But when I don't want to be insulting. You're absolutely right. I'm trying to make a living.
You are making a living.
How are you figuring that?
You're eating out of a can just for effect. You said that you got silverware and all of this bullcrap you're giving me, man. You are...
Well, I'm glad you can laugh at another man's misery.
I'm not laughing at anybody's misery. You're not poor. You're eating out of a can.
I'm eating out of a can.
But you could eat off of plates.
You know what? I wish you wouldn't continually go down that road.
I'm going down that road because you can afford to eat off of a plate. You can afford to use silverware. You can afford to have napkins. You can afford to probably sit there and, excuse me, make yourself dinner. But you won't do it. You'll eat out of a can until you sell some big job to Modern Bride magazine. Isn't that right?
You know what, Phil? You're not Jose Feliciano. Who's the gentleman that...
Jose Feliciano.
Who's the gentleman that is the lawyer?
Jose Baez.
Jose, you're not Jose Baez telling me that I left some kid in the park or killed
I'm here. You're not going to tell me. I'm not leaving a stink in anyone's car. They're leaving it in mine.
Well, now you're getting emotional.
You're darn right I'm emotional. I'm not getting out of someone's sunbird and leaving the smell of goat in it. They're leaving it in mine.
Because you hired to do the job, and you got there, and she was too fat, and you had to leave. That's their fault. They leave the smell in your car.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. Yes.
877-876-PHIL. What do you think about a wedding photographer who shows up, you hire him to photograph your wedding, your reception? He shows up, and you, your husband-to-be, your wife-to-be, whoever, you're not good enough. You don't look good enough. He turns around, and he leaves. 877-877-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our next hour, of course, is our News and Information Hour, and we have with us Art Griego, who is a wedding photographer. Wedding Portraits by Art has been in business now for the last year, and we're talking about a very unusual business practice here, Art. You're saying that your business is down, the economy is bad, you're struggling like all other businesses, and yet you're turning business away. And that's the bottom line here.
The bottom line is I'm struggling like any other business, and we are asking for stimulus help from a government that is very happy to give it to large auto industries, happy to give it to every other nonsensical and ridiculous idea. They want to build a bridge to, I heard about a bridge to nowhere. I don't know what that is. Why are we not allowed what we want? I don't know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Marilyn. Marilyn in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Yes, Phil. I'm familiar with Mr. Griego. How are you?
I don't know that I remember you, ma'am.
Well, you were hired to photograph my wedding.
Okay.
You remember her?
Well, her.
Hold on. Mr. Henry, this is Marilyn Donnelly. I am pre-surgical. I present as a woman, but I am a transgender.
I see, okay.
And I was recently married, and I hired this man.
Mr. Henry, if I could jump.
Please, allow me. I hired this man, and I can tell you, Mr. Henry, that I take yoga, that I am at least 3 times a week in the gym, that I don't weigh a pound over 123 pounds, I'm tall.
Yeah, why'd you tell him how tall?
Excuse me, I'm tall.
Okay, so you're still technically male.
I present as a woman.
Okay, you're pre-surgical, you're about to have your surgery?
Yes.
Can I say something here, Phil? I walked into this wedding and,
Well, all right, Marilyn is saying she's not fat.
When you say she...
That when she says she's not fat and she's not big and she doesn't have the thick neck.
Okay. You're right. I turn the corner and I always like to turn a corner. I never want to come straight on. I want to turn a corner. And first of all, I had a very hard time finding a corner to turn. And I kept asking, there were people, I said, is there a corner I can turn to see? I don't want to just walk straight in. I finally turn a corner and I see this big, tall, and I didn't know what it was.
How dare you?
What does that mean?
It means 6'3".
And he refused to take our picture, so he's a bigot.
No, ma'am, I'm not.
He's a bigot. He's an ignoramus. And I thought you should know.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Thank you very much, Phil. I enjoy your program.
Thank you, Marilyn. 877-876-PHIL.
Are you? Are you you going to let that stand?
You admitted to going to this wedding, and you admitted to turning around and leaving that wedding. The woman, she presents as a woman. She's about to have her surgery. She's transgender. She wasn't fat. You refused to take the pictures. That's on you. Here is Amber. Amber, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Art Griego. Go ahead, please.
All right. So you say that you're eating out of a can, but you're the one turning away the work. You've obviously got plenty of weddings booked. Do your job, and you would have money to eat.
No, it doesn't work like that. You just heard the last lady. I turned the corner, and I got a transgender, I don't know what it is. If I take a
but
picture of
that... But what difference does that make? If you're going to be paid for the job, do your job, and then you'll live fine. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm going to be... I'll be haunted forever by the image of that. That's number one. And number two, I can't take that to Modern Bride and say, here's a, how do you like this Modern Bride? A transgender 6'3" freak.
Oh, man, are you an ass.
You are absolutely ridiculous. You're disgusting. You won't take pictures of transgender people. Who cares? Just do your job. You're a photographer, right? Take the pictures.
Yes, I am. I'm a damn good photographer. I wish there was something I could take a picture of. That's how good I am. I am so good. I wish to God
if you're so good, you would have already sold something to Modern Bride.
I can't find a hot...
You can't find a hot-looking bride. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. I was hoping for the Crystal Harris job.
Oh, you and a million other guys, man. Are you kidding me? You know, Hugh Hefner, if there's...
disgusting.
Ma'am, why am I disgusting when the Crystal Harris job would have put me over the top? And what do you think that thing did? She dumps Hefner, is having an affair with some guy that parks cars.
That's none of your business, man. That's none of your business. What happens? They don't have to get married
especially
to keep you in business.
You're a photographer.
Sorry.
If you would take the pictures, you would be able to eat fine. This just doesn't make any sense to me.
I can't take
you
pictures.
Obviously have work.
I am an artist, Amber, and I'm sure you understand, being an artist, when I turn the corner and I see a woman who has the big... She's got masculine shoulders. All the air goes out of me. All of my dreams...
You know, you sound like a very weak man.
What is that supposed to mean?
You sound like a man that you can't really take life's highs and lows. You just, every little thing is going to screw you up.
Mr. Henry, if you walked into your radio studio every day and there was no microphone, how would you feel?
Don't give me that bull crap, man. This is not equivalent to that. Hey,
no,
listen,
it's not,
thank you, Amber.
You have a camera. You're choosing not to
use
it.
Okay. But Mr. Henry's choosing not to go buy a new microphone. Oh, forget it. You guys don't understand.
You're an idiot. It's a Phil Henry Show. Our news and comment hour coming up next. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Phil Henry.
I'm eating out of a can. Thanks, Phil.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. Real radio for patriots by patriots. This hour, the Hugh Hefner-Crystal Harris wedding has been called off. If you've heard of the Hugh Hefner-Crystal Harris wedding, he, the publisher of Playboy magazine, she, you know, a Playboy model. And I think he's been married, Hugh Hefner, 3-4 times. You would think more, but Mr. Hefner, a significant figure in 20th century, I dare say, not just 20th century American society, but really in world cultural history, because it was his magazine, Playboy, which sort of kicked down the barriers having to do with the prohibitions regarding sex, the sexual relations between primarily men and women. Although he was one of the very first people to call for the equal rights of gay people, and he's been a supporter of a great many other artistic freedom causes, but nonetheless,
yeah, what are you giving all a big build up for, man?
Yeah,
why don't you just talk about what the guy's doing?
I am talking about what you. One of the things you two clowns don't understand is that there may be people listening who are too young to really know the significance of Hugh Hefner other than the fact he's some old creep that lives in some mansion that has a dirty magazine.
Well, I mean, I don't think that.
Well, you guys aren't exactly, except for you, bud. You know who Hugh Hefner is?
Yeah, I know who Hugh Hefner is. He's a guy that published Playboy.
Okay, but the guy's, his history is significant. His history is significant. All right. So we're going to talk about that. Also, a study says students don't know a damn thing about U.S. history, plus Tracy Morgan is still apologizing for saying what he said about gay people. And, you know, it's the official stand here of the Phil Henry Show, Mr. Morgan, if you're listening, which maybe you're not. You and every other comic and anybody else, stop being gutless wonders and say the following thing. Yes, I meant what I said. But here is what I was intending it to deliver. Here is what I was trying to say. You don't apologize because I don't believe you, man. Not that it matters to you. I don't believe this other, any of these other guys that we mentioned last night. Who are the guys that we mentioned, Robert?
Michael Richards.
Michael Richards.
You know, Don Imus, all that.
Don Imus.
But Don Imus said nappy-headed and everything about black people, and Michael Richards said what?
Said the N-word.
Yeah, Michael Richards went, there's an N-word up there, there's an N-word. So, and he was, that was kind of a panicked thing he did when he did that. We mentioned John Mayer, we mentioned Kobe Bryant, Kanye West, all these people. Well, Kobe Bryant, this is kind of a different thing. He was involved in the possibility of actually raping a woman or forcing sex on a woman. Just speech, you know. If you say something, you're on stage, you don't know what the hell it is you're saying, you don't know what the hell it is you want to say, you're just standing up there like a dumbass with your thing in your hands, and you're trying to, fill up the time between now and the time you're supposed to get off stage, or what? And you don't know what the hell it is you're doing, then you definitely have got a problem, man. So we'll talk about that. First, this enlightening story. Just 13% of high school seniors who took the 2010 National Assessment of Educational Progress called the nation's report card showed a solid grasp of the subject of American history. Some people may wonder, well, why is American history important? American history is important because, as I used to say to my kids, do you know the history of your own life? Yes, then you should know the history of your country and your world because it's just as significant. And knowing history, if you know the history of your own life, you're basically saying, my history, my personal history is really important. Well, it is to you, but some of the things that affect your life have to do with the history of other things. And if you were aware of the history of other things, you wouldn't just be operating in this kind of insular tube where you're just kind of moving through life insulated from all the other experiences and realities of life, past and present. And you wind up getting your ass kicked. Or you wind up getting caught unawares. You wind up as a citizen of a country wondering, why is this happening? Why is that happening? How come this? How come that? And today, what we're suffering from is we have a national dialogue going on about very specific things with very real historic basis and historic interpretation. And the people that are conducting the conversations, and many of the people involved in the conversations, are idiots. Absolute idiots. Because if you think this is new...
That's not the first time I've seen it yet, another one.
Yeah, this isn't new. You think this is a newsflash that American students don't know anything about American history? American students haven't known anything about American history for decades. Decades and decades. And we haven't done anything about it. So when you finally are faced with something like 9/11 or you're faced with whatever, and everybody's running around like a chicken with their head cut off, why is this happening? Because they don't know a damn thing, not only about the history of their own country, the world, nothing. What does it mean? If you knew history, you'd know what it meant. Some jackass on Twitter.
Oh, this is good. You tell me about this guy.
Some jackass on Twitter. He was in the Navy for 4 years. And he thinks George Bush is a piece of crap, this and that, whatever. And he says to me, like it's the biggest news flash in the world, he says, do you know that bin Laden and Bush were in the Carlyle Group? The Carlyle Group. Now, if that one hasn't been kicked around and beaten up and thrown down the steps and tossed back up the steps and hammered and yammered and talked to death, the Carlyle Group. It started out, and the reality of the Carlyle Group is the following thing, that the Saudis and maybe members of Bin Laden's family were in this Carlyle Group, a sort of business consortium, oil consortium group of business people. The Saudis and the Bush family, who had, I think only Daddy Bush had been sitting with this group in years previous to the Saudis' involvement. So they had no, there was no historic overlap at all. And absolutely nothing nefarious whatsoever taking place between the Bush family and the Carlyle group, or the Bush family and the Saudis, let alone the Bush family and Bin Laden. But you got to look into this stuff. You got to look. I'll give you another example. This stupid ass called my show one night. I'll never forget it. He said that, Jason, you remember the guy. He said, what happened to the $5 trillion between the Clinton administration and the Bush administration? What happened to the $5 trillion? This guy's calling me 7 years after George Bush was inaugurated president.
I don't know. This guy's all wrong. Got his facts wrong.
Got his facts wrong? Boy, that's putting it mildly. But because he was a radio talk show caller and his blah, 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 he's got to talk really fast. He's got to talk over me because he'll never get this chance again. He wants everybody to know because he thinks I've got this just, boy, if you get on Phil's show or any radio show and you say this stuff, millions of people will be made aware. Well, what happened with the so-called $5 trillion or whatever the hell it was that this guy wanted us to believe was stolen by Dick Cheney, it was an accounting error that the Clinton administration, the Clinton Treasury Department, took responsibility for. An accounting error. And not a very serious one, to be honest with you, but one that was picked up on by the press in that little moment of time when there's nothing else to report. There's a $5 million, a $5 trillion, a $5 billion. There's a discrepancy here, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, what happened to it?
It's an accounting error. Don't you hear too good?
Oh, it was an accounting error. Now comes the Carlyle Group. Oh, well. And so someone finds out that a Saudi or two, maybe a Bin Laden or two, we don't know, sat in this group called the Carlyle Group, some kind of, like I said, an international business consortium. And that goes from the Saudis were in this membership in this group for a while at one point, and old man Bush was in it at another time. That, for the purposes of politics, becomes they were members at the same time. And not only were they members at the same time, they were doing deals together. And you have proof of that? Oh, yeah. Show me the proof. And what is it? It's like an Alex Jones site. No. Come on, man. Show me the damn proof. Just like that Downing Street memo. So what are we saying? This is what passes for conversation these days about American history, the political scene, world history, and a whole damn thing, you know?
Yeah, but man, don't you try to tell me there's nothing Bush and the Saudis?
No, there ain't nothing between Bush and the Saudis. I've heard more horse dung about, you know, the Saudis have an agreement with George Bush to keep the gas prices low so he'll get elected president. That was the agreement they had. Keep the gas prices low. Well, guess what? The gas prices kept going up, man, even when, and Bush still got reelected back in 04. So I don't know what they were talking about with that. Bush has got Bin Laden in a closet someplace. Remember that? As a matter of fact, who's that old lady that was a secretary? Kirkpatrick? What the hell was the name of that secretary of state? Madeleine Albright. Madeleine Albright, who's a well-respected Secretary of State with President Clinton, even she said, I wonder if Bush has Bin Laden in a closet and wants to spring him on us so he can get reelected. Paranoia like you never heard before, stupidity like that was record-breaking, and it wasn't just by our elected officials, but all Americans. It continues today with stupid asses like this guy. So this cat on Twitter is trying to lay on me, this Carlyle Group. I said to this guy, you know.
Yeah, you told this guy to go to hell and everything.
I let him have it. I said, you know something, man? I don't have the time to talk to you about this. This stuff has been discussed over and over again. You're an idiot. I was in the U.S. Navy for 4 years. I've been places. I said, you know, I bet you if I slapped you hard enough, you'd cry.
You didn't say that.
Yes, I did. I said, I don't give a damn what you are. I said, you in the Navy, man, you probably got somebody killed, for all I know. And he, just answer my question. Have you ever heard of the Carlyle Group? Have you ever heard of Bush? Have you heard of the Carlyle? Yeah, you know what? Answer your question. Dude, you know what? There's no answering your question. Because even if I explained it to you, and I gave to you the nuts and the bolts of the whole Carlyle Group bullcrap thing, you still would be out there on the wing of the plane, man, looking for the gremlin.
There's like a Twilight Zone.
Yeah, what, are you going to go cry, man?
No.
Look, the what? The Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Twilight Zone. All right, we'll be back here. So I probably didn't really get into this story as much as I should have, but we have time. U.S. students don't know a thing about history, but who gives a ding-dang, right? Stephen Bozell is going to be joining us next. Mr. Bozell, as you know, from Corona, California, will be up to discuss how trying to find ways to get closer to his son, find ways to communicate better with his son, went horribly wrong. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we were talking. We have Stephen Bozell, I think, standing by. Bud, where is he?
Mr. Bozell is going to call us probably about 10 minutes.
Okay, that's fine. U.S. students don't know much about American history. Just 13% of high school seniors who took the 2010 National Assessment of Educational Progress, called the Nation's Report Card, showed a solid grasp of their
penis.
You didn't have to say the word, man.
You'll get fired for that.
No, I won't. That's what you want me to say.
I wasn't looking at you to say that. They didn't show a solid grasp of the subject.
Yeah, but you were all like, smiling at me and everything.
Maybe he wanted to see yours.
Will you shut up? The fact of the matter is, they don't have a solid grasp of the subject. Results released on Tuesday showed the two other grades... I wanted to see his. Results released Tuesday showed the two other grades tested didn't perform much better, with 22% of fourth grade students, 18% of eighth graders demonstrating proficiency. This is a failing of teachers and the educational system. I'm not trying to pile on teachers, because I know they get enough grief. But the fact of the matter is, teachers don't recognize the importance of teaching history. If they did, they'd be drilling it into these kids a lot better than they are. History is so important that because we don't have a grasp of it, America has found itself in some pretty dangerous straits in the world as a result. We have found ourselves in some pretty dangerous positions worldwide because of this. We don't know our history. We don't know the history of the world, for God's sake. That's for sure. We have some ridiculous idea of our place in the world community that somehow we have to look at the world and say, are we doing okay? We don't understand what leadership is, what respect is. How do you earn respect? You don't earn respect by looking at someone going, will you respect me, please? You don't send people a survey and say, what should I do so you'll respect me? You act out of your nature. You act out of your own nature. And if what your nature calls for is what has been American for so many years, then that's all we need to do. Just be Americans. But we don't know, man. We have no idea. It's like we got to send out some survey so we know how we're doing. We're so freaking dumb. One question asked fourth graders to name an important result of the U.S. building canals in the 1800s. This was called the American System, by the way. Andrew Jackson had a lot to do with it. John Quincy Adams had a lot to do with it. Abraham Lincoln was a believer in the American system, Republican though he was. And what was an important result of the U.S. building canals in the 1800s? Only 44% knew that it was increased trade among states. The history scores released today show that student performance is still too low, Education Secretary Arne Duncan said in a statement. Any guy named Arnie Duncan shouldn't be the education secretary anyway. Sounds like he ought to be chalking cues to local pool hall. These results tell us that... Let me see that. I'm kidding around. His name is Arnie Duncan, but I didn't mean to make fun of that. Anyway, these results tell us that as a country, we're failing to provide children with a high-quality, well-rounded education. Education experts say a heavy focus on reading and math under the federal No Child Left Behind law in the last decade has led to lagging performance in other subjects such as history and science. And why is that? We're trying to teach them how to read and how to add. We need to make sure other subjects like history and science and the arts are not forgotten in our pursuit of the basic skills, said Diane Ravitch, a research professor at New York University and a former U.S. Assistant Secretary of the educational thing.
Very educated of you.
Thank you. Of the seven subjects on the national test, students performed the worst in U.S. history. The scores on the history test did not vary remarkably from years past. Uh-huh. That's exactly what I've been talking about. 1994, for example, 19% of fourth grade students scored proficient or better. More than 7,000 fourth grade students, 11,000 eighth graders, and 12,000 high school seniors from a nationally represented sample took the test last year. A whole bunch of dumbbells. I'm kidding. I'm sure they're very fine kids. You do that now.
I don't need to get my head and my ass where I get my head and my ass all together.
To be considered proficient, they had to get certain scores out of 500. For fourth graders, the score was 243. Eighth graders, yada, yada, yada. All right. Judy Brodigan, who was the head of the elementary school social studies curriculum for a decade, said history and social studies classes aren't as much of a priority for school districts as math and reading. That means that our kids are in such serious trouble with their basic skills, math and reading. We got to get them back up to speed on that before we can even get into the finer topics of history and science. Are you ready for that? Well, I don't know. I know what the answer is, but you know what? I'm not going to say. And the reason why I don't want to say is if you say in this country today, you can't even give your opinion without people automatically writing you off as a liberal or a conservative, automatically shutting their ears. It doesn't matter what you've got to say. It doesn't matter if what you have to say will solve the problem of mortality. You could have the key to everlasting life. But if you say you're a liberal or a conservative, in some circles, their ears will shut off. They will not hear you, and no one will hear you, man. You could have a bag of gold doubloons. You could have a whole Spanish galleon full of them. But I ain't going to hear you, so I'm not wasting my breath at all. But I know what the answer is. I know what the answer is. I know how our country can get better. I know how our country can get smarter. And I know how we can get ourselves out of these problems. I know. But if you think I'm going to say what I think the solution is, forget it, man. I'm not going to waste my breath on talk radio. Talk radio, this is not where you find solutions to problems. This is where you make them worse.
Man, you're talking like that, man. People are going to like you.
People love me, man, for the laughs I bring to their life. They don't want to hear me talking all this smack about Judy Brodigan and the dumbass eighth graders and how they think the canal system was for, you know, root canal. All right.
Wasn't it?
No. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Stephen Bozell joins us next. Plus, Tracy Morgan is still apologizing. Phil, what a bore. Henry. Wow. Woo.
For Patriots, by Patriots, it's the Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. As we promised, we have Mr. Bozell with us. Stephen Bozell is a construction contractor from Corona, California, who is a frequent contributor to our program. Father's Day is coming up, and Steve, you have a son, Stephen Jr., And I know that you were looking for ways. You know, I heard this generation of fathers, when I say this generation of fathers, I mean probably guys that are a little bit younger than me, maybe guys in their 40s. Maybe mine, the baby boomer dads, are closer to their sons than at any time in history. In other words, that fathers and sons are closer and are do more things together, have more communication.
Well, I think that may well be. I know that my work takes me out of the house very early in the morning. I'm in a construction trade, and you're generally on a job site 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes you're, working late. So my schedule is a little bit off the kids, and I think, with Father's Day, I'm a little bit nervous.
All right.
With Father's Day coming up, I wanted to see if there were any groups of men who share ideas on how to raise a son. I know there was a book out you recommended, Mr. Henry, The Wonderful World of Boys.
The Wonderful World of Boys is a book written by a psychologist about younger boys, younger than adolescent, and it's a great book. It's actually for women, for mothers to understand mothers who have sons, young sons, and understand how kids. You know, if you have young sons, they show each other affection by wrestling a lot. By smacking each other around. You know, you have to kind of understand what is hostile and what is just them having fun and that kind of stuff.
I try to find that. My son, though, is approaching middle school, so I went online and I found a group. And I tell you, there are days when I just wish that I'd, and I'll be very honest with you, Phil, there are days I wish that I wish that just, maybe a construct, like a crane had fallen on me or something.
Well, what happened?
I found a group that I thought was going, a group of fathers talking about being more communicative with their sons and doing more things with their sons and, learning how to raise a young man, because they were saying things like, the young man in your life, you need to love more. And I thought it looked pretty good to me. And I said, I might just drive down. They weren't that far away. They're having a meeting over here in one of the business parks, and they had an office.
And now, did they have a name?
Well, yes, sir. And I didn't know at the time what it meant.
And what was the name?
It was the band Boy Love.
NAMBLA?
Yeah.
That's a bunch of perverts, man.
I know that, but I didn't know at the time when I saw what they were meeting.
And well, why wouldn't you know that from the name?
I don't know what that means.
Man, boy, love.
I thought it was about
You thought that was about fathers and sons, huh?
That's what I thought, sir, yes.
Those guys are a bunch of freaking perverts. They ought to be, all of them, arrested. I think it's a criminal organization. You want my honest opinion?
Well, Henry, I think that's going a little far.
Do you?
And hold the phone. I'm not saying I believe in any of that. I went down to this meeting. I had no idea where I was. And I started hearing these guys talking, and I realized I was inside a freak city. And
did you get up and leave?
I couldn't get up and leave right away.
Why not?
Because if I got up and left right away, they'd probably holler cop or think I was an undercover cop, or I felt it was rude.
You felt it was rude sitting there in the middle of this meeting and getting up and leaving, so you stayed?
I stayed until there was a natural break in the proceedings.
And what break was that?
They had a buffet. So, sue me.
So they, I don't understand. You are looking for some organization of guys, fathers who can share with their sons, and that's all very laudable. And you wind up at NAMBLA.
I wound up.
And you didn't tip you off, huh?
What's the tip-off?
What is it called, Jason? North American Man-Boy Love Association? Is that it?
Well, how's that going to tip you off?
You got to be putting me on, man.
No, I'm not putting you on.
There's nothing in that thing that says anything about fathers, is there?
No.
So now you're in this organization, you listen to these scumbags, and what?
I didn't want to leave right away. I didn't want to draw attention. I didn't want to draw attention.
Look, you know, Mr. Bozell, just hold it together, okay? Because a lot of the times we have you on, you start crying.
No, I don't.
Are you crying now?
Yeah. Ooh.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Go ahead.
So, I went in, and I was going to leave as soon as there was a break in the proceedings. And then there was a break. And then...
Oh, this is ridiculous. You put him on hold for a minute.
Wait a minute.
Put him on hold for a minute. I'm going to throw up listening to this jackass.
Daniel, we're in the NAMBLA meeting house, man.
Are you all right, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm okay. Putting me on hold, that further humiliates me. Deeper and deeper and deeper.
I apologize, but you're going...
You don't have to... mock me.
Okay, so then what happened?
So then what happened what?
You're in the meeting at this NAMBLA thing. You don't want to leave.
I didn't want to leave. Then they called a break, and they said, okay, what looks good? And I thought they were going to start passing around a boy, and I said, I'm out of that scene. But I saw, instead of that, they walked over to they had cold cuts. I had not eaten.
So you stayed and you broke bread with these freaks, huh?
I didn't sit down and have a communal... No, I didn't sit down and go, hey, how you doing? I'm Steve.
Did anybody ask you your name?
Yeah.
Did you tell them?
No, I did not.
Well, how does someone ask you your name and you don't tell them?
I gave them...
How does someone... Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir. I told them...
Oh, no.
It's not going to matter.
No, you didn't.
You tell me you're Phil Henry?
You didn't.
I told him I was Phil Henry, H-E-N-R-Y. And I told...
Okay, uh-oh is right, uh-huh. Uh-oh is right. See, I have 20 minutes left on this show, and that's fine, but I want to go to his house and break his neck. And I can't do that. I have to stay here. And
well, you should have hung up on him, man. They've been talking out.
Talk it out, huh?
They said he was H-E-N-R-Y.
Oh, well, that really helps a lot, man.
I don't think you should be so egotistical. Well, how you say that?
Egotistical. Get him back on the line.
I'm here.
Phil Henry.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I'm scared.
Don't worry about it, Steve. All right.
So anyway, they had cold cuts, and they also had buffalo wings. And I said, well, I haven't eaten all day. They had some of the... They also had stuff I don't like, which I do not like, and I want you to know I didn't like it. It's the broccoli with the ranch dip. I do not like it, so I didn't like it.
Oh, that's really great. Okay, so you didn't like it.
Yeah. So...
Why is that significant?
What?
Why is that significant?
Because I wanted you guys to know that I'm not all down with NAMBLA stacks, you know?
You're not all down with NAMBLA stacks, but you had their buffalo wings.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you're not all down with NAMBLA snacks?
I just wanted you guys to know that NAMBLA serve food, okay?
And you sat down and had their buffalo wings and cold cuts.
But they also had broccoli with ranch dip. And I'm trying to sit.
You know, this guy snivels too much for my taste. Okay, Mr. Bozell, I'm sorry.
So you're going to blow me off at the moment when I'm crying?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And that's all I need to hear from that dumbass. I can tell you that right now.
Well, I mean, he didn't join on NAMBLA or nothing.
No, it's not about him joining NAMBLA, okay? It's about how stupid the guy is. That's what it's about. It's about how stupid he is and how he blames everybody else. Here's a guy that's looking for, and it's a laudable goal. Nothing wrong with it.
What's that mean?
What, laudable?
Yeah.
Praiseworthy. It's a praiseworthy goal to want to learn more about being a father communicating with an adolescent son. That's a very laudable thing. And he wants to meet other fathers who are doing the same thing. Father's Day is coming. That's a very nice thing. But now what does he do? He's so dumb, that he finds NAMBLA and goes down to their meeting. Now the dumbass is all, uh-oh, they're going to start passing a... Didn't he say passing a boy around?
Yeah.
So he's worried about that. There's a break in the action. He's ready to split because he doesn't want to be caught with these freaks. He sees that they have cold cuts and buffalo wings and decides...
Well, I mean, it is kind of a temptation and everything.
No, it's not, man. No, it's not. But...
No, it ain't a temptation. You got to get your ass out of there, man. You got a high tail to jam up and jelly tight, man.
Well, he didn't like... He didn't put his name on the NAMBLA master list.
The NAMBLA master list, huh? That jackass should have been out of that place. He should never have gotten there in the first place. That's what I mean about dumb. That's what I mean about dumb. That guy should never have even been in that place in the first place. So, as a result, and then he uses the name Phil Henry. And the only reason why I'm not flipping out is because it's so asinine and so absurd, no one could possibly believe it. Not in a million years would anyone believe that. What do you want?
David,
you joined NAMBLA?
Will you get out of here with him? All of you guys. 877-876-PHIL, a children's book author gets kicked off of a plane for cursing. Now he's thinking about suing. Plus, Tracy Morgan says he's sorry again. Will the gay community forgive him? Will the gay community fall for it? Let's find out. PhilHenryShow.com, HD, TV, blog, merchandise.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
You join NAMBLA?
For patriots, by patriots, it's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, we do have... Where did I put the Morgan stuff, man? Did I put it in the file? I did. Tracy Morgan's story here. There's more to this pathetic story. I don't buy it, and that's just my opinion. And, you know, it's not that I don't think the guy is a good guy. I don't buy apologies like this. I don't buy an apology from a professional who says, you know, thus and so, blah, 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 whatever, 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 and then turns out, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean it. That's bull crap. No way, man. I ain't buying that. You know, I think sometimes these guys have got to have some guts. Grow some freaking guts. Yes, I meant to say it. You did, yes. I'm an African-American man. We fought long and we fought hard for our manhood, and you have to understand that we have a psychological weakness when it comes to that. We're posturing. It's about manhood for any man. I remember what Deacon Jones said once, who is a defensive lineman for the LA Rams. Deacon Jones, and I mentioned this on the show, Deacon Jones was a defensive end, was probably the greatest that ever played in the National Football League. And he said, you got to understand something. For the first time in my life, I could sit across the line from a white man, and I could do anything I wanted to that guy. I could humiliate him. I could beat him into the ground until he cried. I could draw blood. For the first time in my life, I could show him exactly who he was dealing with. He says, and I loved it. I loved it. Because Deacon Jones came up at a time when there was a great deal of segregation, Jim Crow, and everything else. I lived not far from his hometown, Eatonville, Florida, which is a small African-American suburb of Orlando, Florida. And when I was there, man, there wasn't anything there but the high school. Eatonville High School. He said, I could play in the National Football League and I could destroy people, injure them, cripple them. For the first time in my life, I could do that. I could prove that I was every bit the man that this guy was across the line from me and then some. So this is really powerful. And I don't doubt, and I'm not an expert, but I'll tell you something right now. You know, Tracy Morgan says one minute I'm going to stab my son to death if he tells me he's gay, and then he's trying to apologize. That guy's a lying mother.
You're going to say N-word.
No, I wasn't going to say N-word. 877-876-PHIL. Let's take a phone call here. We haven't heard from this guy in a long time. RC, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, Mr. Henry. This is the NAMBLA treasurer. You didn't pay your dues.
Will you watch it with the phone calls?
I didn't know.
877-8... So Tracy Morgan, in my opinion, is not a... Really is not a repentant man. Phil Hendry Show. Bill, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, the NAMBLA meeting is going to be coming...
Where is he?
He went in the next room.
Okay, bud, where are you? I'm going to kick his ass.
I don't know, man. It's setting him up.
I got to screen the calls myself. All right, this is Uncle Jim. Hey, Uncle Jim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I'm glad you like the buffalo wings because...
All right, don't take any more calls in.
I don't know.
Hey, bud, I'm going to kill you, man, so you might as well just stay away. 877-877. We're talking about Tracy Morgan here. Comedian and 30 rock star Tracy Morgan apologized for his tirade against gay people during a stand-up show in Nashville, Tennessee, and now he's planning to return to the city in an attempt to make amends. Okay. Let's go to the phones here. This is Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, you like him 13 or younger. Because...
All right, now I'm going to kill you, man, wherever you are. Don't even... Both of you guys, don't even bother coming back in here. Do you understand?
Really kidding?
Where are you?
I'm not going to tell you.
Where are you?
We can't say.
You can't say, huh? Well, when you guys make yourselves known, I'm going to beat the crap out of both of you. How do you like that?
You can't take two of us.
You don't think so? Tracy Morgan to return to Nashville to apologize. Dave, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, this is David G. Hall, Phil. Listen, if you want to pass a boy around a campfire...
All right, what time is it? I've got 2 more minutes of this living hell. Tracy Morgan to return... screw it. Here's Tracy Morgan. Turn that crap off. I said crap, it's Jimi Hendrix. Turn that stuff off. Here, then, is Tracy Morgan.
For someone who was bullied myself, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. My life is no laughing matter, no joke. So it would be nice to see him and others take my life more seriously.
It's disturbing, and it's a very unfortunate thing because we want to teach our children equality. We want to teach our children equal rights and acceptance and tolerance, and that's just not okay. And unfortunately, Tracy Morgan... I feel sorry for your son.
It was upsetting. It was really upsetting. The comments were upsetting and offensive and hurtful.
All right, now, I don't want to screw around. Is this Don Berman?
Yeah, Phil, this is Don Berman, and I'm not going to say anything about NAMBLA. I don't know what they're... I wanted to call in. I heard that first... I don't know who Tracy Morgan thinks he is, but if you heard him, he's... Oh, it's really offensive.
That wasn't Tracy Morgan.
Who was that?
That was a guy at a Hollywood, at a L.A. Pride Parade. I got the... I...
You're a little flustered.
I'm a little bit flustered, yes. I'm a little bit flustered, yes. I got the wrong thing. That was not Tracy Morgan.
Well, I was thinking it would be very funny because the first guy was... I was really bullied as a kid. You know? If you found out that Tracy Morgan sounded like that, would that be any good?
No, Don, it wouldn't be any good. And you know what?
Boy, get you. You're all in a heap just because somebody said you like to pass 13-year-old.
All right, so I understand what's going on now. Bud and Robert set the whole thing up to make me look like an ass. The Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Ranch, Technical Director Dan Northcraft, and our Associate Producer Chris Johnson. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, of course, is also at philhendryshow.com. Join us, won't you, over at philhendryshow.com with a backstage pass. You access the archives, our daily video cast, our 5-day archives, all of our webisodes, all of our rants, just all of us. philhendryshow.com. See you tonight.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, it says here you're 6 months overdue with your...
Phil Hendry.